Again, if you haven't guessed, I am Juno, and I'm the lead pastor here. Let me also, Dina didn't want to plug her ministry too much, but on Tuesday night, that's our serve night, and we have numerous family-friendly, life group-friendly, individually-friendly projects that can happen between an hour and a half. And so if you want to help us with that, you know, you can look at it two ways. One is that misery likes company. So come on out here and help us get some things done. On the other hand, you can look at it as a life group, as your way individually, either to get to know more people and simply to serve together. Serve in areas that need to get done, and not just need to get done for the sake of a nicer building and that our grounds look good, but for the sake of next week, Lord willing, as hundreds of people will be here, to help them to feel like we were anticipating them, that we wanted them. Because even as a single guy, I had a guest this last week from Phoenix, and I made sure my home was clean, at least the guest bedroom and the sheets and stuff. But I made sure things were there so that he felt welcomed. And we do the same thing on Easter. So our Tuesday serve evening is to help our guests to feel welcomed and to feel like they are wanted on Easter. So again, think through that, and we'd love to have you here. It'll be a pretty low-key opportunity, and we'll have some fun things to do. Well, I have been around long enough, and some of you I know have been also brought up for the fact that there are two things we don't talk about in public. It's not the Angels versus the Dodgers, because that could create just as much angst for some of you. But it's politics and religion. I think some of you said that. And I just grew up with it. You just don't talk about those things. And yet in our scripture today, as we look at that, we see that, you know, Jesus is telling us to be light. In fact, our whole series, from Darkness to Light, is the reality and the reminder that we are to be light. And yet for some reason, some of us have drank the Kool-Aid, have bought into the idea that we can't say anything about Jesus. It's a personal decision, so don't even mention him or what you believe ever and ever. But no matter what you feel about our current political climate, it has certainly opened up the door for some religious conversations. Whether you're questioning somebody's faith or wondering how can a group of people support the current president. And those are just very natural opportunities for us to enter or try to enter into a calm conversation. So while we grew up, some of us grew up with, you can't talk about religion and politics, the blessing of our current political situation is we can. And so hopefully through today, we'll be able to realize how we can do that and not be offensive in the process. Let's pray. Again, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your living word that inspires and moves us. Thank you that your word is more than just information to our minds, but it's transformation for our hearts and for our lives. Thank you that you are here with us. Thank you for those who are here searching, maybe searching for that light, searching for something to get their lives in line again. Lord, maybe some of those people have loved you their whole life, and yet something has hit the fan, and they are looking for some guidance from you. I simply ask that the thoughts that are going on in each of the hearts here, and that the words that come from my mouth will be acceptable in your sight, because you are our strength, redeemer, and the light we need in this world. Amen. Again, this passage that we're going to be talking about today is really, in the context of how it's been written, really launches the ministry of Jesus. It's known, it's tagline, so to speak, It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And for some of you, you've heard that. You're not quite sure what it's about. And so there are people who came to hear their king talk about this. They were hoping to hear some things from this king who can deliver them, and yet he is really talking more about lifestyles. He is talking about ways to interact with one another so that the light can be seen. And so I am sure for some, they went with one thing in mind, and yet Jesus from the very beginning sort of turns the table. And when I say Sermon on the Mount, some of you are going, I think I may know that or that. That sort of rings a bell. It's the Sermon on the Mount is all those blessed things. You know, it is blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And side note, that doesn't say peacekeepers. For some who are a little hesitant on stepping into some conflict, they would rather be peacekeepers than peacemakers. And so Jesus reminded us in his very first sermon that we are to be peacemakers. And finally, blessed are you who, when people revile you and persecute you and talk evil about you. Again, some people say, the context of our passage today, some people would say this is the most read and the most studied part of Scripture. Others will be saying that, oh, Jesus was just talking about people back then. And it doesn't, okay, you can tell by my tone, a little sarcasm there, that it's just for people back then, but in reality, it's for people today. It's for you and me here in this place. And so the verses that we're looking at today, they are found in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. Yep, here they are up on the screens. You can swipe in those Bibles in your chair backs. And if you don't have one, you are welcome to take that Bible. But let me read you those verses. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. People, Jesus wasn't talking about a flashlight back in his day. They weren't invented. He wasn't even talking about a light bulb. He wasn't talking about being energy conscious and getting a green bulb or something that's going to use less energy. He was really just simply talking about a candle and saying giving some examples on how this candle can be a light. And so in the context of our world, while most of us probably have some candles hidden either away for when the power goes out, or we have them as decoration. When I think of light, I mostly think about a light bulb. And so in our context, I'll probably be referring to the light often in the sense of a light bulb. And again, for a bulb to work, any of us know that it requires an energy source. Something needs to be powering that light bulb. Yes, you have the sockets, you have the wire, you even have the plug, you even have a light bulb and the switch to make it work. But if that contraption, whatever you want to call it, is not plugged into a source, it's worthless. It doesn't make a difference. Or the good news for us is running that analogy is that our source is the Holy Spirit. And that's the gift that Jesus left us when he was here on this earth. And so we do have power to light up for Jesus. We do have the power necessary to bring light into a dark place. Now, the question is, are we tapping into that power. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. It is really about connecting. And as believers, the power is always there. We may not feel it. We may have a bad day, a bad week, a bad season. And you may feel that somebody flipped the circuit and the power is gone. But in reality, the power is always there. You know, a while ago, we had we lost all power to the sheds out in the parking lot. The sheds that happen to have, four or five refrigerators and freezers that keep the food for our food distribution. And we could not figure out what in the world. Yes, we checked everything, and we brought out the electrician several times. Could not figure out what the problem was. And they almost just said, we're going to run a whole new line from the church to the shed, and we'll take care of it that way. But he just continued. And after several visits, several large holes in the grass area, they found what the problem was. And I think did you get the slide for this? You got a little, okay, that's the culprit. You don't want to know how much it costs to get it fixed, but we did get a good deal, trust me. But it really just simply corroded. It lost its connection, its ability to be stayed connected to the power. And over years and years and lots of rain, this little thing just basically deteriorated and was worthless. And so I think at times, do we separate from the power? Maybe not intentionally, but some reason, something happens, and we are no longer connected. You know, a light really has one purpose. It's to help you to see. It's to dispel the darkness. Now, I know some of you who decorate in homes, you have a fixation about lamps, and you have them everywhere. And some of them you never light up, but they just look so cute in that corner, or they just offset the living room just the right way. And so you put this lamp there, and you probably haven't turned it on in months or years. But normally, the purpose of a bulb, of a light, is to be lit. And it's to help you to see when it gets dark. Now, this place, this worship center, can get dark. It can get really dark. Unfortunately, we have these lights up here, but at times I will park. Hold on here, I'll give you a little light. I will park, so you can see me. I will park over here to run through the worship center to grab something from the office. But folks, it's dark. And there are these little things called stairs here. And in the dark, you cannot see those. Trust me. And I have walked through this place like I was on ice, just making sure, I know this is probably not good for the video, making sure I don't plow into those stairs again. All I need is a little light. That's all I need. I don't need every light in the house on. I just need a little light to help guide me, to help guide my next steps so I don't injure myself greatly. In the same way, we don't need 500 amps to light up everything when we talk to Jesus, so to speak, to others about Jesus. I think some of us think we need all this light to dispel the darkness to our friends and our family. And basically what happens, you know, when the lights come on, you're like, ooh. You know, when you have the movie theater, the lights come on. And I think some of our friends and family, when you walk in, they go, ugh. Because they know you are just going to overload them with the good news about Jesus. He's changed your life. He's brought wholeness to your marriage. He brought healing to you. He gave you the self-confidence you never had. And so you want to tell everybody, which is very natural and normal, about this Jesus. But in reality, all they really need is a little light. And I'm not talking about a smoking light. The little light of Jesus to help you, to help them to get a glimpse of what you're talking about. Now, sure, there's times when you need to hit them head on with Jesus. And sometimes we call those interventions. Or you have a family meeting to say, what are you doing? Or you call up the friends of your spouse to say, you got to come over. This marriage is about to get flushed down the toilet. And so, obviously, in those situations, you are, the dimmer is turned all the way on because you've got to speak truth. Something needs to change. But in most of our everyday lives, in the lives, and in the situation that we're talking about here, is that we just need to be a light. We just need to be ourselves. We need to listen to other people, listen to their needs, and when appropriate, be able to share about the light of Jesus. And I pray often with the city council here in Artesia. You know, they invite pastors, they rotate us in and out to do the prayer for their city council meetings. And I'm not sure how many people really listen to that politically correct prayer. But what it's there for is to be able to build the bridge to our community. And I realized this past week when I was there, it's like, gosh, I know like 95% of the people on the commission or in the committee. In fact, I know several people who are going to be speaking. And my goal and my purpose, now somebody advised me this past week, when you go there, you know, just give it to them hard. Give them Jesus. It's like, when they invite you, you can give them Jesus. But that's just not my style. And so it's really more of a relationship style, relational style, to build those bridges, to build the trust, so when the stuff of life hits the fan, one of them will reach out, hopefully, and let's have a conversation. And then I can just bring out my little light on my phone, so to speak, and have a conversation. And I think some of us, when we think about being the light, or we think about God using us, and little Luna, we prayed for her today, and we're thinking, could she be the next Beth Moore, the next woman ambassador for Jesus and change the world? She could be. She could be the next president. Some of you would say, amen to that. Let's put her there now. Maybe she'll be doing better. Okay, we won't go there. But it's like, you know what? But Jesus can use little Luna with her friends and with her cousins and with her nieces. Jesus is going to use Luna to really change her mom and dad, believe it or not. And all of us who have been parents understand how God uses our children to change us. And again, for each of us here, God can use you to make a difference in people's lives. You don't need to be a Billy Graham, but you need to let your light shine. And again, as I said at the very beginning, I think some of us have drank the Kool-Aid and our lips are sealed. That we will never, ever talk about our faith because for some reason, somebody has been that spotlight and they've been offensive to you and you're convinced that you will not be that way with others. And so you swing the pendulum the other way and you say nothing. And so that's just I think, one of the ways that we sort of disconnect from Jesus. The way that we unplug the power source when we know that I can have that conversation. They're not going to throw me out of the restaurant. They're not going to throw me out of their home. Something's happened in life, and they've invited me into it. And with love and grace, I need to step into that. But I know it's difficult. None of us want to be thrown out, or none of us want to lose a friendship because we've talked about Jesus. And yet often we are nudged to do that and we don't walk through that door. And yet Jesus says we're to be we're the light of the world. He doesn't say, well, maybe you are. He doesn't say after you've thought about it, prayed about it, journaled about it, went to your life group about it, thought about it even more, then maybe you can say something. We're called to be the light of the world. So as our friends Nike says, let's just do it. But do it in a way that reflects your personality and the gifts that God has given you. How do we not do it? Well, again, as I mentioned, by being quiet, being too quiet. When God has opened the hearts of your friends, you know, we often pray, Lord, open a door, you know, so I can have a conversation with somebody. Sometimes God blows the whole wall down and we still don't say something. We need to plug back in and remember that His Spirit is with us. Sometimes we unplug because we go along with the crowd too much. Despite the fact that what they're doing is destructive, despite the reality that it is dishonoring to others, we're afraid to say something. And it's really our faith in Jesus that says, something's wrong with this. That we don't say anything. We've unplugged. Back in high school, I'm not going to tell you how many years that was, our weather teacher was a very elderly lady. She should have retired years earlier. I think her gift of teaching went away with the clouds. You know, it was just a very painful class. And so one day we locked her out. Not we. No, she was locked out and she was just pounding on the door to get in and nobody did anything. Except when she started to cry. It's like, oh, time to open the door. Now that should have happened before she cried. But to make a teacher cry because we were a bunch of, thought we were too smart or smart something, and you can fill in that blank, that we disrespected her and dishonored her, that was ridiculous. And my faith knew more. I was a senior in high school. It's one of the last classes you have to take. It's one of those classes, anyway, we took the class. So we were all upperclassmen. And so again, one of the ways that we can disconnect, miss opportunities, is to go along with the crowd. And yet you know darn well you shouldn't be going along with that crowd. One way is denying the light. Because of what other Christians do, we sort of zip it because we don't want to be have guilt by association. And so we just really downplay our faith with Jesus versus saying, well, yeah, what? I don't understand why whoever did that. But, you know, all Christians aren't that way. At least not the way I live my life. But yet we won't even have that conversation because we bought the Kool-Aid or drank the Kool-Aid that says no religion, no politics, don't talk about anything. And so you just let somebody rail on Jesus because you really haven't thought of your next line. And so think about that. You know where you're going. Not for eternity, but you know where you're going in life. To the places you're going, to the restaurants. The people at Sprouts almost know me by name, so I'm very kind when things aren't going the way they should be in the store. You know, I don't jump down their throats. I, you know, address them by name, and because I get the sandwich probably four times a week from there, and they know me as Juno, and I'm going to get this. They just know my order. And so I need to treat them as Jesus would, despite the fact that, I'm not overly thrilled with what's going on there. Some of us, we let the sin that is in selfishness and arrogance and our egos. We let our unforgiving spirit, our critical spirit, our divisive words, we allow them to dim our light. We allow that to happen at home, and so our light is, we're plugged in, but our light is dimmed. Our kids don't know we love Jesus. Our wife is even wondering, who in the world are you? Your colleagues, your friends are wondering, they know you've invited them too, and yet you're behaving this way. And so at times, we dim the light ourselves in some of our own behaviors. And yet, on the other hand, the good news, the wonderful redeeming news of Jesus is that despite our humanity, despite us being screw-ups at times, despite us saying things that the minute you say it, you're like, ooh, Lord, I need to reel that back in. Despite of our humanness, Jesus still says we're the light of the world. And so how are we those lights of the world? Well, when your neighbor needs some yard care, I know some of you have taken care of that for him or her. You didn't evaluate their situation. You just simply helped. You are letting your light shine. When the world of your coworker, and the one that you really don't like, when it starts to crumble and you become the listening ear, you are the light. When you bring in bags and bags and bags of candy for our spring fest, you are the light. When 75 of you donate hours every month for our food distribution, you are the light. When over 20 of you have volunteered to help Ryan in student ministries and to be adult mentors and adult leaders, you are the light. When some of you are on the visitation team that goes to Arteza Christian Home and to other people who are shut into their homes, you are the light. Of course, you're not the pastor. You don't have all your theology wrapped up in a nice little box, and really, none of us do. You're still being the light in those places where people are hurting. When you read to somebody who is about to be promoted to be with Jesus, you are the light. When you serve on our, I don't know what, I want to call it our funeral team. They're the ones that help prepare the lunches and stuff for people. You are the light. And let me just, on that, you know, we've had a bunch of funerals here lately. And so many people have nothing, they don't know anything about the church. But the reality that you are serving them with a smile in some of their most darkest moments, you're not just giving them a sandwich. You're not just bringing them coffee, but you're being the light of Jesus. And so all of us have the opportunity and have the ability to use the gifts that God has given us to be the light. You don't just have to be here on stage to be the light. When some of you arrive 30 minutes early on a Sunday to help set up the set team out there, you are the light. When the teams play the instruments here or with our Indonesian ministries, they are the light. When you help set up communion, you are the light. When several of you stuff those chair backs week after week after week, and you get them back in order after we rent out the place and people rip it all apart, and you just do it so faithfully, why? Because you know the next crowd coming in needs to feel like they're welcomed. You are being the light. When you weed and tend to the gardens, you are being the light. When you bring in your good used clothes to give away, you are the light. When you give with hearts of generosity toward projects, you are the light. When you pray for your leaders, you are the light. When you show up for special services or events or even church, you are the light. Because it's really not just about you receiving something, feed me, Pastor, you know, let us sing a song that I love. But no, you are an encouragement to others here. And by you showing up, whether it's here or any one of our Holy Week events, you are making sure you're plugged in. And you are making sure if there's any corrosion going on with your wires inside of your heart, that you're pouring cleaner over that to make the connection stronger. For those of you who help wash the towels that we use every week, for those of you who stomp out gossip, for those of you who give sacrificially, you are the light. And for one of you who wants to pick up your pastor at 10:30 at LAX Airport in a couple weeks at night, you are the light. I don't know who put that in there. But anyway, folks, the list can go on and on. But Jesus calls us to be the light. Again, if you have that image that you need to be the bright star shining, the man or the woman up front here, you know, these folks can sing like crazy. But you don't have to be that gifted. God's gifted you in some special ways. Use them. And more than not, those special ways are going to be used in your own home. I had a conversation yesterday with a young man who's in the business world. He wants to leave it all and go to ministry. And I said, well, that would have been easier to do 4 years ago when you weren't married and didn't have a child. He goes, well, just pray for her that she'll get it. I says, well, let me pray for you to realize your first ministry is to the people in your lives, which is your wife and your child. And see then how God leads you as a team to your next step. It's not just you. Because again, the younger people, and excuse me, folks, if you're in that category, over on this side here, sometimes they really think the only way to be the light if they are preaching the gospel. And yet God does and needs people all over the place as a part of the community to plug in and to use their gifts. Don't short sheet the gospel by thinking it's just somebody up front. Anyway, folks, I think we are being the light. And the only way we can continue to be the light in our community, to be new life for the city, which you decided years before I got here, that was our tagline, so to speak, is if we're plugged in, if we're helping God, if we're allowing God to use us. And when we're afraid of that, say, Lord, I don't want to. That isn't me. Help me remove the blocks so that I can continue to be new life in the city. And I think as we do that, as we've been praying for our unsaved friends, for our friends who don't know Jesus, for our friends who haven't crossed the line of faith, whatever terminology you want to use, as you've been praying for him or her or them, I trust that some of them will be here this coming Sunday. It's the Super Bowl of Sundays, people. And be praying that God will use you to invite them. Not that you're perfect, but that God will use you to invite them so that you individually and us collectively as the church can be new life for the city. And God's people said, amen. Folks, we will continue to worship this morning. We will continue in what we call our response time. And it's a time that you'll be able to give of your finances to help us as a church to be new life for the city. It's a time for you, if you want to, just to sit and reflect. Listen to the music, sing along to the music, make some notes. It's a time to reflect about God's moving in your own life. And maybe for today, it's a time maybe to reflect on how did I become so disconnected? Lord, why have I pulled back? What brokenness is in my life that you need to repair, Jesus? So maybe you just need to think through that. If you want to come up and celebrate communion, you can do so in the front and in the back as a reminder of God's love. We should be reminded of it during baptism. We are reminded of it as we take the bread and the cup. And when you come forward, you can just rip part of the bread and then dip it in the cup and then take it. Maybe you want to light a candle here or in the back as a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. Not that there's power in that flame, but that flame is a reminder that Jesus has called you to be the light of the world and that the love of Jesus can penetrate any dark place. And so let us respond to God how God leads us in this response time.